All right. Well, we know that Moses encountered God in the burning bush. And God said, take off your sandals, for this place where you are standing is holy ground. We know that Jacob wrestled with God. We know that Noah received instructions for building an ark. We know that Elijah saw fire that came down from heaven. Our story today is about Abraham and Sarah. And they have a picnic with the Lord. Do you think that God is present among us? Truly. Do you believe that God is present? Do you trust that just like God was working in Moses' life, and Jacob's, and Noah's, and Elijah, and Abraham and Sarah, that he's also working in our lives too? Let's pray, and then we're going to look at Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. Genesis 18, 1 through 15. We'll have the words on screen, but you're also welcome to pull out the Bible that you brought, bring up your Bible app, grab a pew Bible from in front of you, and turn to Genesis 18. All right, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your holy word. Lord, again, we ask that you give us guidance, that you show us your will and your ways. Lord, we know that your word is the truth. And Lord, we know that in this day and age, we want more and more solid food. We want your word so that we know the truth. We know who you are. We can have tremendous relationship with you, and we can understand your will and your ways no matter what comes our way. Lord, we ask for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There, in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. This is the word of the Lord. Abraham is at what is probably his favorite spot. This is where he worshiped the Lord. This is where his tent was set up, where his home was. And it's in this spot where he and his family are all eventually buried. He was able to buy at this spot the very first piece of land that was bought for future Israel, a cave to bury his wife. And it's the cave where he ended up being buried as well. It's a significant spot to this day. It's a real place. Sometimes we look at some of these stories in the Bible and we think that they're someplace unimaginable, but this is a real place. I've been to this place in Hebron. I wouldn't recommend going there, especially right now. This is about 18 miles south of Jerusalem. It's a kind of a contested area. There's a mosque and a synagogue that share a wall, and they're built over the spot where this cave is at. And when I was there, there was full military, with full military gear. There were checkpoints, there were road blockages. One thing I vividly remember is there was just piles and piles, really big piles, of garbage all over the place because the garbage collectors wouldn't go there to collect the garbage because of the violence and tension in that area. We went through 3 metal detectors before we got to go into the spot where the cave is. But it's a real place. It's a real place. This was Abraham's favorite spot. And I imagine old man Abraham, it's the heat of the day. And in his culture, along with many other cultures, in the heat of the day, you're going to take a rest. Maybe take a nap, maybe a siesta. So Abraham's probably getting ready for that, sitting out in front of his tent. But verse 1 lets us know that the Lord appears. In verse 2, we find out that Abraham looks up. Maybe his eyes have already shut, but maybe he heard the Lord walking up. So he looks up, reminds me of Psalm 121, one of my favorites. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. So Abraham looks up, and this is kind of strange, because verse 1, we hear that the Lord has shown up, and now we find out that Abraham sees three men. At first, when I read this, I was thinking Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That kind of makes some sense. But later in this chapter, we find out that Abraham ends up talking with the Lord while 2 mighty angels go down to deal with Sodom. And I think that's the clue for us, what's going on here. We have the Lord Almighty, and we have 2 of his mighty angels by his side. Now, so we have the Lord, we have two mighty angels, and they appear as men to Abraham. And I wonder, when here, we're not told, but when in the story here, Does Abraham figure out that it's the Lord in front of him? Does he figure it out right away? Is it when he's in the middle of his flurry of activities? Is it when the Lord starts to talk about Abraham and Sarah having a son? I'm not sure when exactly Abraham understands that it's the Lord in front of him. However it was, I think that Abraham has it right. Hospitality. Over the top hospitality. Remember, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." Abraham has that kind of thinking in his heart. So whether or not he really understood what was happening right away or not, he seeks for them to stay so that he can refresh them. Whether it was the Lord and two angels that he recognized right off the bat, or if he just thought they were travelers coming by, he seeked to refresh them. What kind of refreshing? Well, we find out that he brought them cool water for their feet. You know, my wife and I had an opportunity to go to Italy last month, and one of the things that we thought sounded kind of strange was a second use for the bidet that we found in our European hotel rooms. I tried it, and it was refreshing. Not the way that you think, but I took, after, well, you heard earlier this month that we walked about 92 miles during our trip, a little over 8 miles a day, and I did take my shoes and socks off, and I did run cool water over my feet, and it was refreshing. And I can't imagine on a hot summer day near Hebron, walking in sandals, how refreshing it would be to have cool water for your feet. And we also find out that Abraham seeks to have them refreshed by sitting under a tree in the heat of the day to get some shade. One of my wife and I, one of our favorite things that we did when we were in Italy was get out of the hustle and bustle of the busy cities. We had an opportunity to go spend a few hours on a farm in the middle of nowhere in Italy. And he had this huge porch area where we could sit, and it was so refreshing. It was warm, but it was so nice sitting under the canopies of his house. We could have sat there the whole rest of the day. Our tour, we had to keep going after we were done there, but it was so nice. And then Abraham, he also brings choice food for his guests. And when we were at that farm, wow, the spread of food that the farmer and his family set out for us was amazing. I had never had wild boar before, but he had wild boar for us, and it was good. And I tell you what, we had olive oil there that he had pressed himself, and it was the best olive oil I have ever had in my life. It was amazing. Abraham seeks to refresh his guests. We can imagine Abraham and Sarah. They're scrambling in a flurry of activity. And There's overtones here, all kinds of overtones that point ahead to Scripture later on, right? We have Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. We can look ahead to that. We can think about the fine flour and bread that was made, pointing ahead to the bread of the tabernacle, or even further to the Lord's Supper. And how about the choice tender calf that was prepared? We have a picture of the sacrifices in the tabernacle or temple, the unblemished sacrifices, and we can even look further ahead to the unblemished lamb, to Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross for us. Abraham seeks to refresh them. Abraham and Sarah, they're choosing to serve rather than being served. What is this whole church thing about for you? Is it about being served, or is it about choosing to serve? As a church, we need to continue to think critically about how we can do a great job of refreshing others. Just like Jesus says, I truly tell you that whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. How refreshing it is for someone who is struggling to hear the words of Psalm 23 from one of your lips. How refreshing is it for someone who's having a really hard time to receive encouragement from you? How refreshing is it for somebody who's struggling to know that they are not alone, getting visits and calls and cards? How refreshing is it for someone dealing with darkness to hear a great hymn like Send the Light? Or how about a struggling teenager who is dealing with utter defeat in life, who has been listening to their favorite new Christian song on repeat in their headphones over and over and over all week? How refreshing is it for them to come to service on Sunday to hear that song sung from our lips? What does it mean for us to choose to serve rather than being served? To be united together, loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to loving each other as ourselves. We are called to be refreshing. Refreshing each other as though we are refreshing the Lord. Loving each other as though we are loving the Lord. Think scrappy church. That's what this whole thing's about. With this kind of picture, with this kind of relationship with the Lord, with this kind of serving attitude, we will be well on our way to welcome readiness. And I'll give you the spiel again here for welcome readiness. What is that? It's the first out of three different movements in our scrappy church book. And welcome readiness is taking notice of what first-time guests might experience when they come and visit. We're talking about absolutely everything from the time they park to the time they leave. It deals with our attitudes and our relationships. It includes elements like our parking lot, building, decor, and signage. It involves being prepared to greet them, getting them information, getting their information, and having pathways for entering into the life of our church. It also means looking critically at our communication strategies, social media, streaming services, and our website. What does it mean for us to be a scrappy church? Determined, persistent, unwavering. We see Abraham and Sarah, they're in a flurry of activity. Then, in the middle of all of this, the Lord asks, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" You know, I had the opportunity to go to Israel about 16 years ago now. Seems like yesterday. When I was there, I was able to stay with a Christian Palestinian family in Bethlehem. I got to stay with them for 2 nights. I felt a little bit uncomfortable, especially at mealtime. It was their custom that the men all eat together in the dining room. Women and children, they stayed in the kitchen. And I wonder if that custom is what's going on here. But the Lord asks, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" Well, Sarah, she's still in the tent. Now, we're getting to the purpose of the visit. We know that this certainly was an opportunity for Abraham and Sarah to refresh them and to serve them, but the Lord has a plan. He has a sovereign plan. You know, the Lord, earlier on in Genesis, has made promises to Abraham. Through Abraham, God says that all of the nations will be blessed. We know that God makes covenant with Abraham, and he's heard it before, that his wife Sarah will bear a son, even though they are super old. Abraham, 100 years old. Sarah, 90 years old. So the Lord here says, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Sarah, in the tent, she heard the words, and in her own heart, she laughed. She laughed to herself. "I'm way past menopause. There's no way this is going to happen." And Abraham, She calls him her master here. And the other translations might put in husband, but ours puts in master. And so her husband, well, let's just say that those ads for pills that you see on TV, they didn't have those back then either. And she wonders, how is it that we're going to enjoy our one flesh bond again? How is it that I'm going to have the pleasure of childbearing now that I am old? It just doesn't make sense. There's no way. The world doesn't work like that. That sounds insane. I was thinking about it. Maybe you like the idea of scrappy church. Maybe you're even on board with it. Looking critically at the different aspects of our church. And maybe you're even ready for changes. But perhaps, in the back of your mind, you laugh too. You laugh at the idea that we could have not just a few, but many, many Bible studies, small groups, life groups, where everyone is connected. Or maybe you laugh at the idea that we can go extremely deep with one another, share our personal struggles with one another, be ready to invite others into that too. Maybe you laugh at the idea that forgiveness could override hatred that exists in this place. Certainly there are people here who have identified their spiritual gifts and used them, but maybe you laugh at the idea that everyone here could identify and use their gifts. Or maybe you might laugh at the idea that the most messed up person that you know could come here, enter into deep and safe relationship, and grow in Christ. Maybe that you just laugh at that. Maybe you might laugh at the idea that we could truly have renewal and transformation in this place. Or maybe you might laugh at the idea that God actually has something in store for us. Maybe you're for it, but in the back of your mind, you're like, I don't know. Maybe you laugh at the idea of a turnaround. Now we can look at God's response. He says to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old?'" And God's response, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Or in other words, is God really God? Is there any obstacle that is too big, any challenge that is too great? And we have to ask ourselves, has our thinking been an attempt to rob God of his power by laughing at what he could do? Have we been distrusting his word? How often are we like Sarah, unable to believe that God can do a mighty work in our lives, in our church, in our community? Do you believe that God really is in charge? That he is full of glory and power? Or do you stand in doubt to him? At the end of this passage, Sarah does not seem ready. When asked by God about her laugh, she lies. And she says, "I did not laugh." But God knows the truth. And he says, "Yes. Yes, you did laugh." Perhaps God is calling us out today. Maybe our thinking has been too small, too worldly, denying the very power of God. Sure. Renewal, transformation will be a narrow path, will be a narrow gate, but at the same time, God is God, and all things are possible with him. His kingdom reign is here. Abraham, he was placed near the great trees of Mamre, near Hebron, for the sake of the world. You too, you're placed right here. Right here in Waupun, and we're being called to a season of refreshing. Let us repent together and ask God to do a mighty work here, to trust him as he guides us moving forward. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we might look around Waupun and we might look at our neighbors and we might think to ourselves and laugh. There is no way. There is no way that anything is going to happen at First Reformed Church. Traditions too strong to make changes. People too stubborn to seek refreshing people of every age group. Half glass empty. Lord, we repent of our sin and we ask that you help us to trust in you and your promises in Holy Scripture. We pray that you light us up by the power of your Holy Spirit with a new attitude. And Lord, help us to be truthful with you about where we're at. Lord, we ask for this guidance in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.